Welcome back to Faith Radio Mornings, where we're joined on the line by Dr. Linda Mental, who hosts a program here on Faith Radio Mornings as well. You know her voice. I know you love the topic she can get into. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning. Hey, and I just wanted to say, Peter, when you were reminding us where our center of our faith should be and that we should keep our eyes on the Lord every single day, I had the opportunity yesterday to sing at the Washington National Cathedral.
Wow.
And it was an awesome experience. If you have never been to D.C. and have gone into the cathedral, you need to do it. It's absolutely a stunning beautiful building. Acoustics are fantastic. Our choir actually auditioned to do the Vespers at the cathedral, and we were invited to come, and so we did it yesterday. And the man who gave the homily, the reverend who gave it, was the same reverend, I believe, who did the inauguration of this president. And he had a wonderful thing to say about all through the week. So apparently, you know, it's been a really tough week in Washington and with the hearings and everybody so divided and angry, and there's been a lot of hurt and all kinds of emotions that people are dealing with. And he kept reminding us that it's not about Capitol Hill, it's about the Hill of Calvary. And so it was a great centering message to pull everybody back to the cross and to the position of prayer. So that was a really great word that we had yesterday.
Yeah, it must have been almost surreal is maybe not the right word, but just feel, yeah. You must have felt so alive just to be in the midst of what has been such a swirling storm out of Washington, D.C., and bring that life and hope into the midst of it.
And it was really great to have a leader like that in the cathedral, you know, bringing us back to the unity that we should be having in Christ and the peace that we should have in Christ, and to somehow, you know, focus on the cross and know where the power is to make change and transformation, that we don't depend on people in government. We depend on the Lord. So it was a very good remembrance for all of us that were in the cathedral. And I have to say, the acoustics of that place, one of our pieces was The Wondrous Cross. And when we got to this climax in the piece, I was so moved, I almost started crying. And then I had to kind of distract my brain and say, wait, I got to keep singing.
But
it was such an amazing experience. And I've been to D.C. many, many times, and I had never been in that cathedral. So you can go in. There are tours. You can find out the history of the cathedral. It's a really nice thing to do.
Well, and I think as believers, too, to go into some of these ancient cathedrals reminds us of the history of our faith. And I think, Linda, some of what we're missing at times is just the incredible ways in which they built these buildings. I know when we go over to Europe and go to Westminster Cathedral or Notre Dame or something, you almost can whisper and hear the other person on the other side of the cathedral. It's really remarkable what they did back then from an engineering standpoint.
Yeah, and it's very similar in the Washington National Cathedral. We had a pitch pipe because we sang a cappella. All our numbers were a cappella. And we had a pitch pipe that was very faint, and there was somebody in the very back of the church, and they said they could hear the pitch pipe. So
Wow. The
acoustics in there are phenomenal.
Well, great story, Linda, and it does speak to the idea, as we've already referenced, that there is the possibility of shining light in the midst of storms, that there's ways in which we can live as believers in the difficult circumstances, whether they're national or personal. And that's what you and I were going to chat about a bit today. As I know, Linda, when I've been in the midst of storms in life, I sort of wait for the circumstances to change. I wait for the eye of the storm, as it were. I wait for maybe the winds to die down, and then I'll experience peace. But really, I'm just experiencing peace because of circumstances still, even if they're better. I'm not actually a peaceful person. So talk us through just some of the ways we can think about this and how we can become peaceful people in the midst of whatever circumstances are happening.
So one of the key factors psychologically with people is that if you feel like your life is at the expense of things that are external to you, we call that an external locus of control. If you think that things around you have to go right, or people have to respond the right way, or you have to have the right situations in order to be okay in life, if you have that kind of belief, you're going to be very anxious and actually fearful moving through life. So one of the things that you have to learn to develop is some type of internal locus of control. And this has everything to do with when people feel anxious and when they feel depressed. even people who go through chronic pain, if their belief is that they have to have a surgeon or a doctor or somebody else taking care of them or they can't be okay. Now, I'm not dissing all of those things because those things are important, but the idea that somehow you have to develop an internal locus of control. And the way that we do that as people of faith is we recognize that God is always present. He's in us. He's God Emmanuel, so he indwells us. His presence is never away from us. So if we look at Psalm 46, which is a very famous psalm, we know that God is a very present help in times of trouble. That's how that psalm starts. And so just recognizing that no matter what you're going through, you're not alone, that God is with you. And just like Jesus was with Peter when he stepped into the storm and he was out of the boat, God is with us in the middle of that storm. I think when you, Peter, when you have that sense of God's presence and you don't forget it, because I think what happens to a lot of us is that in the middle of a difficult circumstance, we do feel abandoned. We do feel sometimes like we're on our own and we have to figure it out or we have to wait for somebody to do the right thing. And the last thing we seem to get to is the idea that, oh, wait, God is with me. He's present. He's a present help. And I know that he's going to be with me in the middle of this turbulence. And so the key is to turn your eyes back onto him and to focus on him and to enlist him into whatever circumstance that you're dealing with.
Dr. Linda Mental. Linda, we're going to take a short break. And when we come back from break, I would love to hear and get into this a little bit more about what daily life can look like. I know when I was in church yesterday, there was a woman who was recently widowed, and she came and spoke about this idea of day by day and breath by breath and how we can become people who, despite the circumstances, really can live in that peaceful way. So more to come with Dr. Linda Mental next on Faith Radio Mornings. Welcome back to Faith Radio Mornings, and joined in the line by Dr. Linda Mental, and we're talking about what it means to be calm in the midst of storms, to be a peaceful person. And Linda, we were talking before the break a bit about the fact that sometimes circumstances in life aren't going to change, and you made the great point that during those times, if we're going to experience any kind of calm and peace, we need to fix our eyes on Jesus, and that is something that we have to do more than just once, right? It's an ongoing almost posture of life. I think about this woman who shared in my church yesterday morning about losing her husband a year ago and what that's been like. And she talked about she can't worry about the resources that might or might not be needed for tomorrow or in 5 years or for 10 years for her son who now doesn't have her father. But that she really needs to just go breath by breath and day by day, fixing her eyes on Jesus in the moment.
Yeah, and this all goes back to really what do we believe? And if we look at our basic beliefs, our basic assumptions, those should be informing our thoughts, our everyday thoughts. So if we believe, if this woman believes that God is going to take care of her, if she believes that God is going to provide for her, now that doesn't mean that you don't do things that you need to do to get services in place and talk to people and get out and do the things that you need to do. But if your basic belief is something about God that is true, then it informs your thoughts. So, for instance, worry is one of the things that a lot of us struggle with. And I wrote a book on this called Letting Go of Worry. And one of the things, the points I made in that book was the opposite of trust in God is doubting God. And doubting God, if you doubt God is going to be there for you, if you doubt God is going to take care of you, then the thoughts you're going to have out of that belief is worry. But on the other hand, if you believe that God is working for you, he's going to help you in your times of trouble, then your thoughts can be much more peaceful. In that same psalm I mentioned before, 46, he says in that psalm that God breaks the bow, he cuts the spear, he burns the chariot of fires. He's working all of these things in our life for our good. And even though we don't see it, and a lot of times this is in the invisible realm, if we truly trust that God is working for us, then that is going to prompt thoughts of peace. So we're going to believe, okay, God, you've got this, or I can trust you in the middle of this. Yes, I'm grieving, but I know that your presence is with me and you're going to walk me through to the other side. So our beliefs are really important. That's one of the reasons why we do creeds in churches sometimes, because we're rehearsing what is it we believe about God and how do those beliefs then inform our everyday living.
It's Linda Mental, who airs her program on Saturdays here on Faith Radio Mornings. And Dr. Mental, I'd be curious, too, as we're thinking about being calm in the midst of these storms, if I can say that this morning. It must be Monday morning, Dr. Mental. You know how that is, right?
More coffee.
Yeah, more coffee. I'm going to break for some Starbucks. But I'd be curious your thoughts just in terms of friendships and people that we're walking out this journey with and the importance of their perspective in our lives when sometimes we really can't see because everything is just swirling around us all the time.
Yeah, and the literature really shows that the more social support you have, the better you're going to deal with problems in life, the better mental health you're going to have every day, the better quality of life you have. And so developing a community, developing people that you can turn to, that you can talk to, and this should be part of the role of the church. That, I mean, the church is supposed to be a community of people who get together and basically do life together. And so if you don't have those types of people in your life, then what happens is you begin to feel very isolated. And when we're isolated, Peter, we just start to go negative. We start to think bad thoughts, and we just start to think that we're all alone in the world and that nobody cares about us. So one of the antidotes to depression, one of the antidotes to grieving is to get out, get connected again, start talking to people. And like you mentioned, you think about Moses and Aaron in the Bible, and Moses grew so weary in the journey because he had a really difficult group of people that were complainers and difficult to deal with. And Aaron was there to hold up his arms and to support him even in that or endeavor in terms of leading the children of Israel. So we all need an Aaron in our life. We all need somebody who can lift up our arms when we grow weary and can encourage us and can remind us of the hope of the resurrection, the very thing that you started this segment with, that we have hope in Christ and we should never give in to the belief that there isn't a way of escape or there isn't a time when things will get better, because that's the hope of what we believe.
We're talking with Dr. Linda Mental about people who can experience some peace and some calm in the midst of the storm. And Linda, I'd be curious, too, as we've got a couple minutes left here, if you can talk a little bit about our expectations in life, because I think for many of us, we assume that we shouldn't ever run into storms, that they shouldn't be part of our life, that these things just shouldn't happen as part of our faith. And yet, I can't think of anybody I've ever talked to in life that said, my life's been pretty storm-free. There's nothing that's going on. I mean, it's been pretty easy, pretty straightforward. I'm always in the midst of these calm waters. So does some of this relate to our expectations that we are going to run into this, and maybe that helps us deal with them as they come?
It does, and our expectations obviously prompt, again, those are our beliefs. Those prompt the way we think about life, and there is no promise in Scripture that becoming a Christian or becoming a person of faith is going to exempt you from problems. In fact, the Bible is just the opposite. It states that when you have tribulation and when you go through these deep valleys and when you face death and all these things that are problematic are listed in the Scripture, and we see that God doesn't always take us out of the difficulty. We saw that with Job. We saw that with Paul. Paul had to deal with something in his life that was never removed. So we see over and over again in Scripture that people had difficulty. But again, the promise is that he will walk you through that difficulty and his presence will sustain you. I think a great verse maybe to leave people with today, Peter, is Psalm 112, 7 and 8. I love this scripture because we hear a lot of bad news today. We're just inundated with bad news when we turn on the radio or the television or our podcasts. And we hear, but this scripture says, he will have no fear of bad news. His heart is steadfast. Trusting in the Lord, his heart is secure. He will have no fear. In the end, he will look triumph on his foes. And so what a great word. And then in Thessalonians 3:16, it says, now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times in every way. The Lord be with you all. So what great promises to say, I'm with you, I'm going to sustain you, I'm going to give you peace when it doesn't even make sense, because that's who I am. It's the transforming power of the Holy Spirit in us that can lead us in a time of difficulty, of bad news, and yet our hearts can be steadfast.
I think it's such an important promise to get into and to just remember, Dr. Mintel. And I'm mindful of the words of Dallas Willard, who once really took me aback when he said, you know, the universe is ultimately a safe place. And he said it didn't mean it's going to be free from pain or turmoil or sorrow or circumstance. He did say, and consistent with what you just referenced in the psalm, that anywhere we go and regardless of the circumstances, God is present. And so we have a Father who is for us and with us in the midst of all of these storms.
And if you don't know God and you're listening to this, This is such a benefit of the life of faith. It's really difficult, I think, for people who don't have faith to go through difficulty because they do sometimes walk through it alone and they don't have the hope of the future and they don't have the power of God in them that can help them overcome these difficult circumstances. So I would just encourage anybody who's listening, if you're kind of thinking, I don't know about this faith stuff, there's just so many great benefits of being a child of God. And this is one of them, that you can have peace in the middle of very, very difficult life circumstances.
That's Dr. Linda Mintel. Dr. Mintel, what is going to be airing this upcoming weekend on My Faith Radio? What are you working on right now?
I knew you would ask that question, and I've been so busy. I think this week it's the blame game.
Love it.
I think we're talking about, we're talking about victims and blaming and not taking responsibility, something that's a little bit prevalent in our culture right now.
Yeah, I have never done that, and I blame you for the fact that I've never done
right.
That, Dr. Mintel.
We don't hear that in the news at all, do we?
No.
We don't hear any blame about anybody.
I love
so
it.
We thought we'd hit it hard.
Oh, great. Well, your program's a great program. Certainly love working with you on Faith Radio mornings like this. Thanks for joining us here on a Monday morning.
Hey, great to be with you, Peter. Get some coffee.
Indeed. We'll take a break for Lighten Up and Bottom of the Hour News. And when we come back for the second half of this hour, Dr. David Aikman will join us, and we'll talk through the global headlines of the day. Well, if you tried to tune in to Faith Radio Mornings this morning, you probably know we are experiencing some engineering issues around here. Everything went dark and silent on our boards. We didn't know why. Engineers working feverishly. My understanding is we are back live on air. I think they just poured some coffee into the board, and the board decided to get rolling. So glad to be back on live. And if you've missed some of the show, we have been recording it all morning, and you can go to myfaithradio.com and catch the entire show with Brandon Schulwalter and Ruth Kramer and the whole segment with Dr. Linda Mintel. And up next, we'll be joined by Dr. David Aikman from Ireland, the Time magazine journalist for the better part of 20-plus years, and he'll join me as he does on Mondays to talk about some of the difficult global headlines from a Christian perspective. Last Friday on Faith Radio Mornings, I was joined by Carmen LaBurge, who is the host of Connecting Faith, the midday program here on Faith Radio. And we were just talking about the fatigue and the wearying nature of what's happening in Washington, D.C. and the Judge Kavanaugh proceedings.
I think sadness is the best description of the way I feel as well. I am sad for the individuals involved. I am very sad for their families. I'm sad for our system. I'm sad for our democracy. I'm sad for our public witness. You know, Peter, if democracy and our particular form of democracy is in fact what God hopes we're exporting to the rest of the world, because democracy is, you know, the best system through which people can live in freedom, and freedom is the best opportunity we have for the advance of the gospel, then what happened yesterday is a really devastating public witness in terms of the way decent people function in an orderly way. It's not what happened yesterday. We not only believe in, but we know a great God. We worship a God who is redemptive by nature. And I too am holding out hope that we are going to, after moving through a season of great difficulty, because I don't think we're through it. I think we're moving into a season of great difficulty in which the truth will be reestablished as the way. And in order to reestablish the truth, we have to deal with all of the untruth in our culture.
Well, Carmen was so passionate and articulate as usual. She does such a great job talking about the news, and her show is a great opportunity to get into some of these topics more deeply. If you want to catch that entire segment I had with Carmen last Friday, you can go to myfaithradio.com, search for Faith Radio Mornings or Carmen LaBurge, and all of what she had to say about the situation out of Washington, D.C. will come up. Well, I see we have Dr. David Aikman on the line, and he is joining us from Ireland, and he'll talk with me next about some of the headlines coming in our world, including what's going on between the Pope and China these days on faithradio.com.
My name is Bond, James Bond.
Well, Love that intro. It means that Dr. David Aikman is joining me here on Faith Radio Mornings to talk a bit about global headlines from a Christian perspective. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Peter. How are you?
I'm doing well. I do have to say, as we've covered some of the news over the course of this weekend here in the United States, it has been a bit wearying out of Washington, D.C., kind of what's happening with the confirmation process. Have you been following this at all from across the pond Ireland?
It's been all over the news, all over the TV here in Ireland and the U.K. BBC has had nonstop footage on the judiciary hearings, and everybody's scratching their head at how this is proceeding.
What's the overall take?
I'm sorry?
What is sort of the overall take? I know that sometimes Europe can be a little anti-American in terms of just sort of shaking their head at what happens in the process over here. What's happening over there?
Well, it depends. I mean, the BBC is reasonably detached, although they have an underlying anti-Trump animus that sometimes reveals itself in both commentary and presenting the actual news. But Ireland has been pretty neutral on the issue of what Kavanaugh represents and what the opposition to him, how the opposition to him is generated. And a lot of the people, I think, on this side of the pond don't understand quite how partisan these nomination hearings can be when the party in power has all the ability to vote in favor of the nominee, but the party out of power is desperate to get back into power.
And in terms of that, that's obviously so much of the political rancor that's going on in the United Kingdom as well. And maybe before we get into some of the conversations that have been going on between the Pope and China, huge headlines there, let's get into the Brexit conversations. I know you give us an update almost every week, but things are moving towards what seemed to be almost a hard entrance into this Brexit in just maybe, what, 5-6 months from now?
Yes, they've got until the end of March to sort out the details, and the challenge is that Theresa May, in her so-called checkers arrangement, the terms of a checkers agreement that all the cabinet ministers agreed to subscribe to, except two who resigned, one of them being Boris Johnson, really wanted to get the best of both worlds. She wanted it to get cooperation of the single market in Europe and yet maintain British authority and sovereignty over Northern Ireland. The Irish border issue, which probably sounds completely obscure to most American viewers and listeners, has actually loomed very big among the obstacles preventing a smooth Brexit, because Theresa May, the British Prime Minister, is adamant that there should be no border that does not allow complete integration of Northern Ireland to the whole of the United Kingdom, whereas the Europeans want a much more fuzzy arrangement where the European Union, basically with its proxy Ireland, decides what the terms of the agreement on the border will be. So that's very much up for grabs, that particular issue. The Labour Party conference last week basically said, we are going to ask for a new referendum, and we're going to support that. And if we come to power, we shall actually initiate a second referendum with the option that the British people can vote to alter the decision to leave the EU and can actually remain in the EU if they wish. So that's a really complicated issue. And the Conservatives, who are governing at this time, are very alarmed that problems with the Brexit arrangement may lead to a Labour government coming to power.
But I think some of the Brexit conversations, and correct me if I'm wrong, at least some of them are motivated by the immigration and refugee conversations that are going on. And I know in the United States, there recently was just passed that they're going to reduce the refugee entrance quotas to 30,000 from 45,000. And that's down from even 110,000 people. So how much of this Brexit conversation is being driven by the refugee crisis in our world?
Well, not really very much. I mean, the immigration crisis, well, it wasn't a crisis, but concern over excessive immigration to the UK, predominantly from the Middle East and North Africa, really stoked the Brexit campaign referendum. But now that is passed, people are really concerned about being able to get EU workers to stay in the country to accept new recruits and so forth. They don't want any change in the sovereignty of the EU over the UK, so that the UK can basically welcome workers from all parts of the world as the UK decides, not as the EU decides.
You know his voice is Dr. David Aikman, who joins me on Faith Radio Mornings every Monday morning to talk about some of the important global headlines from a Christian perspective. And David, when we come back from break, I would love to get your take on what's happening in China right now. Some pretty significant headlines about what the Pope is deciding to do relative to appointing bishops and what say he wants to have or lack thereof in the future in China Christians. So more to come here with David Aikman on Faith Radio Mornings. Welcome back to Faith Radio Mornings. I'm joined on the line by Dr. David Aikman, and we're talking about some of the important global headlines relative to our faith. And Dr. Aikman, I would love for you to sort of talk through our listeners some of the events coming out of China here recently, and the Pope making some decisions about who's going to be in leadership of the Catholic Church in China and the implications that will have for believers there.
Right. Well, the Pope is working towards an agreement with the Communist Party of China that the CCP will have the right to veto any selection for a bishop that the Catholic Church in Rome makes. This is all part of the ideology of the Chinese government that there should, under the Communist Party, that there should be absolutely no authority over any church activity in China that is not completely Chinese. Well, of course, that contradicts the whole mechanism of the Roman Catholic Church and its leadership. And furthermore, it brings into question the faithfulness of the so-called underground Catholic bishops who were ordained in Rome as bishops, have been faithful to the Roman Catholic Church, and many of them have been in and out of prison for years. And the underground Catholic worshippers in China, it's believed that there are about 12 million Roman Catholics in China, and about half of them subscribe to the underground Catholic Church, which they believe is faithful to the true doctrine of Rome, and half of them subscribe to the Catholic Patriotic Association, which is the one authorized by China and which the Chinese government uses to decide who is or isn't going to be bishop. So it's caused a huge split in the Catholic Church. And the ramifications of this are very profound for Protestants as well. I don't know whether you would like me to give a brief description of what has been happening to the Protestant Church.
Yeah, I would love to have more information on that.
Well, the Protestant Church is, I mean, basically divided into people attending the officially sponsored churches authorized by the Three Self Patriotic Movement, which is completely subordinate to the Communist Party. And probably more than half of all Protestants in China worship in technically unauthorized churches or house churches who choose their own leadership and make sure that the Christian doctrine they preach is completely orthodox. Since Xi Jinping came to power in 2013, he has instituted a whole series of measures to cut down as far as possible the influence of the Christian community in China, especially the Protestants. He made a comment to some officials in the province where he used to be party secretary, Zhejiang, which is a highly Christianized province, that the Communist Party needed to contain the overheated growth of Christianity. And the Communist Party is terrified that the Christians are becoming so numerous and so attractive to many ordinary Chinese because of their charitable work, the high ethical quality of the followers of the gospel, that they are going to be increasingly disillusioned with the party, Communist Party leadership. But the vicious campaign, probably the worst in the communist world since Joseph Stalin was alive.
So moving forward, what do we see relative to the Chinese treatment of believers? I know you and I have talked in past shows about the persecution that's going on and that it's likely to increase rather than decrease. What are there implications beyond China for that? When these sorts of persecutions happen, does it begin to extend outside a given country?
Well, I think there are, because unfortunately, China is developing very close security relationships with third world countries, which often have dictatorial politicians in charge and want to suppress any political opposition. And China is providing the technology to identify worshippers with high-tech face recognition applications. China itself is a country that is becoming basically the foundation for the Big Brother global society that some people have feared ever since George Orwell wrote 1984. There are hundreds of millions of cameras, television cameras in China, scanning the faces of people in crowds, and the Communist Party is trying to insist that these cameras be installed in church so they can identify who the worshippers are.
It's Dr. David Aikman, who joins me on Mondays, talking about so many of the global headlines. And we have just less than a minute left, Dr. Aikman. There's some significant events with Andrew Brunson, the pastor out of Turkey. Do we see the possibility of release here maybe in the next couple of weeks?
I wouldn't be able to predict the next couple of weeks, but I suspect that despite his brave words, the president of Turkey, Erdogan, who is, as everybody knows, a fairly committed Islamist and utterly detests any expression of Christianity within the borders of Turkey, he may feel compelled for Turkey's future and economic success to release Brunson because the pressure on him from the U.S. has been so intense.
Well, it's going to be fascinating to watch in these next few weeks. It seems like it's almost never ending. And I certainly appreciate you coming on each week like this and joining me on Faith Radio Mornings to just help our listeners understand what's happening around the globe.
Well, Peter, thank you for having me.
We'll take a short break and wrap up our Monday show here on Faith Radio Mornings.
Have you ever wished you could listen to your favorite radio program when you wanted to? That way, you'd never miss a program you really wanted to hear, simply because your program came on when you had an appointment, you were at work, or something urgent came up. And for those really busy days, you could listen early in the morning or late at night when things were calmer, and you could take the time to reflect and meditate on what you heard. Well, you can listen to your favorite programs whenever you want. Download the Faith Radio app by searching Faith Radio in the Apple Store or Google Play Store to gain instant access to Faith Radio programs and previous shows. It really is that simple. Search and subscribe to your favorite program and listen anytime. Download the Faith Radio app today and don't miss a thing. Once again, go to iTunes or Google Play on your mobile device and search for Faith Radio to download the free Faith Radio app and start listening today.
Well, to all of you who are used to listening to Faith Radio mornings here on a Monday morning like this, we are aware of and apologize for the engineering and issues that were happening all morning that caused the show to be off the air. I don't know if there's gremlins in the computers or what was going on. We had all the engineers working on it. Sometimes things technologically, as we know, those of us that have computers and phones just don't work out. But I promise we will continue to bring the news and lifestyle statements from a Christian perspective each day. And God willing, we will be on the air with you tomorrow.
Isn't it a terrible thing to be lost? No matter how on track you may think.